Well, hello, hello, and welcome to the Financial Wake Up Call. I am Dave Crossan, and I am so happy for you all to listen to this podcast and any of my previous podcasts, and certainly want to thank all of the listeners, all of the people that have reached out to me to say, hey, David, let's talk about this or what about that, or just give me a little bit more clarity on a previous topic that you were discussing. And I'm so happy to do so because that's what this podcast is all about. It is that wake-up call. But let me say this, I'm not here pounding that desk saying, you have to do this and you have to do that. No, I'm not. And why am I not? Because everybody's situation is unique. Everybody's situation is different. So I always tell people to lean on their financial advisors with all of their different investments and different strategies that they're going with and they're getting advice for. Of course, if it's any estate planning issues, leaning on your attorney, and of course, tax issues, you would want to lean on your expert, your CPA, or your accountant in that situation. So where are we today? Well, actually, today does bring up a tax-type situation. Again, this is a good conversation to have with your CPA, to have with your accountant, to discuss the possibility of a tax savings. Does it work for you? And maybe you are in this situation, and that's why I'm bringing it up. So here it is. For individuals out there that have company stock that they have purchased within, say, their 401k, so it's employer stock, it's company stock, and you've been making contributions. And let's make up a number. Let's say over time you have contributed $100,000. Let's put that as the cost basis in your 401k. And now, due to growth, it's done well. It's now up to $200,000. Nice, easy numbers. So the question is, okay, well, now that's $200,000. It's in a 401k with your employer, and let's say you've now changed jobs. So now, big decision time. What do I do with this 401k? Do I leave it there? Do I move it to my new employer's 401k? Or for a lot of people, they're thinking, well, David, I want to diversify more. I have a financial advisor that can help me. So I'd like to take this 401k with this company stock and move it to an IRA so that individual can help me. Well, I'm going to say not so fast. And why do I say that? Well, here we go. And this is today's topic. It is net unrealized appreciation, or NUA. So what is that? And for a lot of people listening, they're probably thinking, well, David, yeah, I remember when I left my company, I had my 401k, I owned this employer stock in the 401k. I got this notice and it didn't make sense. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to roll it over to an IRA with my financial advisor. I'm not sure what this is. And I don't know if it would help me. So the reason I'm bringing this up, because this is one of those items that you should take a good look at. And why is that the case? So net unrealized appreciation is the difference between the cost basis and what the current stock price is. So for the example we're going to utilize today, let's say it's $100,000 of cost basis of the employer stock or company stock, and now it's up to $200,000. So the difference is that $100,000. So if you take that company stock in that 401k and you simply roll it over to an IRA, you lose the ability for this potential tax savings. Well, David, why don't you tell us what the tax savings could be? Well, I'm going to do so. So again, this is something where you'd want to reach out to the plan administrator with the 401k to see if you qualify for this tax savings, or I should say the net unrealized appreciation, and of course, lean on your tax advisor, your CPA, your accountant. So let's do some numbers. So if we keep it within the 401k and it does qualify for net unrealized appreciation, if you take a distribution of this stock, the price currently, or the value I should say is now $200,000, and I do an in-kind transfer to a non-retirement, non-qualified brokerage account and put it in there, now you're thinking, well, Dave, I'm going to have to pay tax on that money. Well, yes, you do. But initially, you will pay tax on the cost basis. What was the cost basis, for example, today? Well, it was $100,000. Okay, And you're thinking, well, Dave, what about that appreciation? Well, that's the net unrealized appreciation. You do not get taxed on that appreciation until there is a stock sale. Again, let's back up a step. We've taken this stock worth $200,000, cost basis $100,000. We've moved it from a pre-tax account, your 401k, and we've transferred it as a distribution in kind, not selling it in any way, but moving the actual stock to a non-qualified after-tax brokerage account. You are taxed at that point on the cost basis, the $100,000, as income, as any distribution would be from a pre-tax retirement account. It is considered income on that $100,000. But here is the advantage, and let's run some simple numbers, okay? So let's say you're in the 35% tax bracket, okay? Let's start there. You're in the 35% tax bracket, and you go ahead and you do that distribution. All right, so that distribution will be the 35% on that $100,000. So in this case, would be $35,000 of tax. And we'll just focus in on the federal side for this conversation. All right, but that's on the $100,000. All right, so think about this for a second. Now you've got that $100,000 of appreciation. So, okay, that's going to be taxed at long-term capital gains rates, which currently the highest level is at 20%. So think about what's going on here. You could sell it at that moment. You could sell it 6 months from now. You could sell it 3 years from now. It doesn't matter. It's considered a long-term capital gain rates. So at that point, let's say you sell it, and I'll just make this number up. Let's say at that point you decide to sell it, and you're in the 24% tax bracket. Okay, again, initially when the distribution occurred, your income bracket was 35. Again, I'm just making this up. But again, let's say you are now in a situation where you're either in a lower tax bracket, a higher tax bracket. It does not matter because the cap is at the 20% currently. So that is a 15% tax savings in that situation. Do the math. In that situation, that's a savings of $15,000. And again, I just want to back up a step. When you do this distribution, even if you sell that stock the day you do the distribution, 6 months later, 3 years later, it's all going to be treated at long-term capital gain rates, which currently the high level is at 20%. So think about it. When you did the distribution, that initial $100,000 was taxed at 35. And again, I'm just throwing easy numbers at us here just for today's conversation. So 35% on the 100, that's 35,000. You sell it the next day, the day after the distribution, I'm just making this up, or 9 months later, it doesn't matter. That additional amount, those gains, the additional $100,000 is now going to be taxed at no more than 20%. You saved yourself 15% tax. That's significant. Now, a question I get a lot is, well, David, what if I do the distribution and I decide to sell it 6 months later, okay, and the stock really is doing well and the $200,000 when I did the distribution is now at $300,000. Wow, we're doing well. Here we go. Well, again, let's do the numbers. The gains that when you did, you know, prior to the distribution was $100,000 at that time, so that's going to be taxed at the long-term capital gains rates of 20%. Again, it doesn't matter once you do that distribution, whether you do it the next day or 6 months or 3 years, that's your max rate. Again, that's the current capital gains rate. The larger amount would be the 20%. If you're in a lower tax bracket, it could be a lower number. Now, from the date of the distribution, any future gains are going to be looked at when you sell it. So let's get into that conversation. So let's say you sell it 6 months from now and it gained another $100,000. I'm just making this up for easy numbers. That additional $100,000 over the $200,000, now it's at $3,000, those gains are either going to be taxed at a short-term rate, which would be your income bracket, whatever that may be, or a long-term capital gains rate, which would be, again, more than 1 year, which would be at the no more than 20%. So that's the only time where those future gains could be taxed at short-term rates or your current income bracket, which for the example we utilized was at the 35%. Again, I'm just making easy numbers by saying 35, 24, just trying to keep it so that the numbers are clean and neat. But again, that's now let's say we had waited after the distribution and we waited over a year. Well, guess what? Those additional gains, that additional $100,000 over the $200,000, would also be at long-term capital gains rates at 20%. So the only time the distribution would be taxed at either your income bracket short-term rates or at a long-term rate over 1 year would be from the time that the distribution was done, and that's on future gains after the distribution. So why am I bringing this up? Well, a couple different reasons. Number one, for a lot of individuals that have employer stock or company stock, they're not aware of this. And the hiccup is if you do the distribution to a, or I shouldn't say a distribution, I'll say it differently. If you do a rollover, and a lot of people do this when they leave an employer, they take that balance in their 401k and they roll it over to a traditional IRA. And for a lot of reasons, they do that. A lot more choices, a lot more options. They then may work with a financial advisor to diversify their portfolio and to manage it for them, which is, you know, those are good ideas and good decisions. But in this situation, you want to take a good look at the potential tax savings, because if that money is rolled over to a traditional IRA, well, guess what? That NUA, the net unrealized appreciation, it's gone, meaning you can't qualify for it. So what does that mean? Well, I'm going to tell you. So let's go to this scenario where we simply just did a rollover of the $200,000. To a 401k. Okay, now we've deferred the tax from a 401k to a traditional IRA, but when we do any distributions at that point, it's going to be taxed at your income level, your tax bracket as a distribution. So let's say you turned around and did a distribution once it was rolled over to the traditional IRA, and let's say you took that 200 and did a distribution. Well, here's the hiccup. That entire 200,000 would be at your tax bracket, and let's say your entire tax bracket at that point's at 35%, just making it clean and neat, that $100,000 that you would have paid 35% on, and if it was a net unrealized appreciation, you would have only paid 20. Well, the hiccup is if you had rolled this whole thing to a traditional IRA and then did a distribution, that entire $200,000 is going to be at your tax bracket, which the entire $200,000 for our example today would be at 35%. Again, I'm just clean, easy numbers on the tax brackets just to show you the difference. So I bring this up for a couple reasons. Number one, for a lot of people, they're not aware of it. Number two, depending on your situation, depending on where you're at, if you're in a high tax bracket, you may want this opportunity to take out the cost basis at your tax bracket, but knowing any future gains that you have, gains that are baked in the cake, if you will, could be taxed at a lower level. Again, once the distribution is done, whatever the profits are, the example we're utilizing today was $100,000. That would even at the $200,000 total, $100,000 gains would be taxed at capital gains rates. Any future appreciation, again, would be whatever time period that would be, either at your tax bracket if it's less than 1 year or if it's over 1 year, would be at the long-term capital gains rates, which are currently at 20%. Now, again, another reason you want to take a good look at this situation, and I always like to lean on my CPA, my accountant, is maybe you are in a lower tax bracket and maybe there isn't the tax savings like we're talking about here that, well, maybe it doesn't help you, maybe it doesn't make sense, but you need to be in a position to evaluate the numbers. And especially, where are you with this rollover? Is it something where you're getting to the point of nearing retirement? You know, maybe this is an opportunity to get money out of the pre-tax account and be able to create some nice tax savings for you. Or maybe longer term, you're not nearing retirement. Maybe the numbers don't work. Maybe it does make sense to roll it into a traditional IRA to further diversify your portfolio, continue the tax deferred on the account so that those gains aren't declared at that time, so you can continue it for a longer period of time. There's a lot of factors to consider, but again, it's an important topic. It's net unrealized appreciation, NUA, and for anybody listening that has left the company that did make contributions into the employer stock, the company stock, you want to, number one, reach out to the plan administrator to see if you even qualify, but also, too, in a lot of cases, when you do change jobs, you do leave, there would be a notice that would alert you to the fact that, hey, take a look at this, consider this. I've had many clients reach out to me. They receive the notice, and it can be confusing. What is this all about? I'm not sure. Go ahead and roll over the money to an IRA. Now, before you do that, I always say not so fast. Take a good look at your options, because everybody has a unique situation. Everybody's situation is different. And this may be an opportunity for some nice tax savings that you may not have been aware of. So before you do a rollover to a traditional IRA, if you have company stock that you've been contributing to, and let's say you have some nice profits in that stock, you want to have this conversation. And that is today's topic. I hope you enjoyed it. Please, 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 one more, please, if there is a topic, a different discussion you'd wish for me to get into, I would love that opportunity, because that's what this podcast is all about. It is a wake-up call. It is not a pounding in the desk. We're giving different ideas, different concepts, different thoughts out there for people to take away from the podcast and be able to speak to their experts, their advisors on things to consider. I always like to consider this being like an aha moment, maybe the light bulb goes off, something to consider that you didn't consider before or even knew about. That's what this podcast is all about. So with that being said, my phone number, 732-902-7880. And of course, visit us at shorelinewealth.com. We have lovely offices in Manchester and Manahawkin, New Jersey. Have a great week. I look forward to speaking with all of the podcast listeners next time. Take care.